I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
The calendar flips to November. It's the most important month of the year in college football. It gets you to the big games at the end. And it really starts tonight. The good stuff on this wonderful Week 10 starts tonight, if you believe the nation's longest winning streak in 20 games could actually end tonight. Our buddy, friend of the show, Jeff Collins, coaching Temple in Orlando against UCF, 6:30 ESPN. Around the horn real quick, guys. Is there a chance UCF goes down tonight?
Did you listen to my upset alert Tuesday?
I did.
I told Rockstar I didn't need those points. Temple's going to win this thing straight up. And here's what I'm basing this on, Lance. The level of defense UCF has faced, Temple is leaps and bounds better than the best thing they face. The best defense they face, scoring defense, is number 92 in the country with Memphis, and Temple's number 30. I mean, it's a huge difference.
But here's what I would say. Has Temple seen an offense like this? Look, Mackenzie Milton, if he doesn't play, if Dariel Mack, the freshman, goes again, he struggled against East Carolina. They were actually trailing after one. If Mack plays, I think Temple's got a shot. I do like Temple in the game plus the points, but I don't think they win this game with Mackenzie Milton.
What is the points?
10.5.
10.5.
Still
that,
a big number.
I hope makes for an entertaining game, though, if it's within a touchdown, yeah. Within a score. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope Mackenzie Milton plays because I don't want any of this, if he'd have played, we'd still be undefeated. I don't want a backup playing and them losing the undefeated streak that way. I wouldn't want that for any team, really, because you don't want to – have to ask what if this, what if that. So I hope Mackenzie Milton plays. To Lance's point, Jim, there are some times where Buffalo's a pretty good team. I know they're a MAC team. Buffalo's a pretty good team this year. They put 36 on them in week two. Boston College put 45 on them in week five. So some people have scored on Temple. Of late, though, they've been very, very good on defense.
That's the calling card for Jeff Collins, who's bounced around in this league. He's been in Tuscaloosa, he's been in Starkville, he's been in Gainesville, and now he's up at Temple as a head coach, his first chance at doing that, and has done a pretty good job, but lost to Villanova to open up the season, which was a hard one to swallow there in the city of Philadelphia for Temple football fans, as many of those as they can be in Philadelphia, but a fun Thursday night game.
Yeah, it should be, but again, injuries are going to play a part in this. On the other side, you've got a running back for Jeff Collins, their leading rusher, Ryquell Armstead. He's a game-time decision because of an ankle injury. So you could have two top offensive players not playing in this game, which I guess I don't want to say would equalize it because Mackenzie Milton is one of the best players in college football.
Yesterday, Maryland gets rid of DJ Durkin, not even a full day after he had been reinstated, talking about going with the wind there. I don't know if there was some procedure they wanted to they have to reinstate him to fire him.
No.
I don't think so. I think the Board of Trustees just grossly misjudged the public outcry.
Yeah, look, and I'm not saying one's right, one's wrong. Maybe ultimately they had to do this. But, boy, I tell you where we are in society now. If you do something and the mob gets behind you on the other way, you don't have a fighting shot.
Yeah, but you're right about that, Lance. But I don't know if you're a Board of Trustees member how you thought this was going to go a different way.
Well, I heard that, and I don't know if you guys saw this, and it's one of those things that when you start reading in depth, it kind of bores you and lulls you to sleep, but the board didn't have the power originally to fire him.
That's right. It has to come from the school president, I believe, right?
Like they said, we met about this, and we were trying to determine what was going to happen, but initially we found out we don't have the power to actually fire DJ.
So now we have an epic game of buck passing, right? It wasn't our problem.
But he's out, and to move the story forward now, you start looking at who's going to take over a tough job. It's in the Big Ten.
Man, he's done a good job, too.
He has. He has. So it makes it an interesting job to take. And there are a lot of people who are saying you got to have a character guy with the greatest character. So they're looking at both of the military schools, guys who have done great jobs of coaching there at Navy and Army. But the name that Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, friend of the show that popped up last night, Mike Locksley, who's been at the school before as a coordinator, who has strong ties in that area recruiting-wise, and obviously has been washed from his bad head coaching job in the waters of Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa now as the OC at Alabama, and all of a sudden Locksley's a hot name for that job.
Yeah, look, Locksley, again, has done a really, really good job, borderline great job this year. He's not going to get the credit. We've talked about this before because of the exceptional player that Tua is. I just don't know if Maryland fans would be excited about Locksley. Maybe they would based on watching this offense and thinking that can actually transfer to the Big Ten, and maybe Maryland would have kind of that up-tempo, you know, scoring 50 points a game. If I'm a Maryland fan, I don't know if I'm excited about Mike Locksley. I've seen him in this situation before.
Well, I mean, obviously the thing you're going to sell if you're Maryland is look what he's doing right now. He's got the leading Heisman candidate. He's got the top offense in America in a place where you don't normally have the top offense in America. I mean, that'd be their sales job.
Scoring 54 points.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I mean, this guy's done an amazing job. I think most people would look at it and say, well, you know, while Locksley has done a good job, he's also done it with an exceptionally talented quarterback. You're not going to have it, Maryland. You're not going to have Tua Tagovailoa at Maryland.
You could have Jalen Hurts.
That's true. You could have Jalen Hurts next year.
Could get your coach and your quarterback.
Here's what I was thinking last night when I saw Dunaway tweet this story. That Locksley, and that's an obvious connection, obviously, that he's going to be mentioned in this. Most schools in America, I think we can peg this. Give me Maryland's greatest coach of all time. The guy that's considered to be Maryland's
Bobby
greatest
Ross.
Coach of all time. Is
Whoa.
That it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bobby Ross had them. I mean, they were a perennial top 10 team.
So Bobby Ross was there before he was at Georgia Tech?
He was.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know Bobby Ross was at Maryland, Lance.
Yeah. Where were you going to go?
I don't know. That's my point.
Yeah. Boomer Esiason was his quarterback.
Okay.
So that was the Boomer year.
I was going to say whoever was coaching Boomer Esiason, because they were like a top 10 team when they came and played Auburn one year. At Jordan Hare when I was a kid.
And I could be wrong. I'm throwing it out there that I would assume that Bobby Ross.
It's kind of my point. I mean, like,
Alabama fans were, Bear Bryant.
Well,
I mean, that's where he started.
Yeah, well, he was there back in the day. So it was Jerry Claiborne, by the way. He was the eventual Kentucky coach. But it probably is.
Maryland for Kentucky.
I think that's right. Yeah, I'd have to look
Bryant
at his.
Did too at one point.
Yeah.
So on a weekend, Kentucky is playing Georgia for the SEC championship. In the pecking order through history, Kentucky's been a better football job than Maryland.
Wow. Probably.
Wow.
See, because I was wondering if it was the fridge, Ralph Regan. I mean, he took them to what bowl game was that? I mean,
they went to an Orange Bowl.
Yeah, they went to an Orange Bowl under the fridge.
That's right. Remember that?
But I mean, if Ralph Regan is the greatest coach in school history, the bar is pretty low.
But see, now its degree of difficulty has increased since they were in the ACC, right?
Yeah,
now
they're
in
the Big Ten's a tougher spot for them.
They're in the Big Ten and the wrong division.
Yeah, it looks like the ACC, when you go through it, every other team is a sleeping potential giant in that conference, not so much in the Big Ten.
Exactly. I mean, the path for Maryland ever to have significant seasons, I mean, if they win this weekend, they're bowl eligible. I mean, in that division.
You know what Maryland is, and we compare this a lot. To me, in the Big Ten, they're kind of Mississippi State and the SEC.
There's a lot of Mississippi States in other leagues. <aren't there? laughs>
I know. I get it. Look, but you can have perfect storm, and you can have a ton of talent. You can win 10 games, and you can go under the radar going 10-2.
I was
going
to say they were Ole Miss.
They're one and the same to me.
That's what I was saying. I was just going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good first job. I would say it that way, wouldn't you? Maryland is a good first job. You're not going to leave anywhere of note to go to Maryland, but it's probably a good first job in that if you could get 8 or 9 wins there a couple of years, you could get a much better job out of it.
But if you're Damon Evans, and look, and I know there's some intrigue and maybe a little excitement because he comes from a Nick Saban tree, don't you go a different direction than Mike Locksley?
He's
I don't know.
He's not the...
I'm impressed with the guy. I mean, I know you guys say Tua and the receivers and all that, the talent that's there, but... He's taking this to a different level.
If he takes his job, we'll find out some kind of stake bet with it.
Okay. Absolutely.
I don't think
make it realistic.
Yeah, this is more Jim McElwain to me than what you would get with a Kirby Smart.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, Lane Kiffin now, year two, doesn't look as good as he did year one. So we may look back years from now and Jeremy Pruitt may be the best guy ever to leave Nick Saban and go on. You know what I mean?
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Do you remember real quick when Locksley was there? Because I was trying to remember this. They had this controversy where somebody was named coach in waiting and then was told, by the way.
James Franklin.
I know. Yeah. That's what I was going to bring up.
That's why Franklin left.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. The guy that is now the Penn State coach, he was coach in waiting, and then they basically came back and said, hey, that coach in waiting thing, not going to happen. So it goes to Vandy. So you once had the Penn State coach as your coach in waiting and told him, yeah, it's probably not going to work out for you. That's why you're Maryland. When you're making decisions like that.
And he left and went to Vandy.
Right.
And now
to Vandy. Left Maryland to go to Vandy, and he's the Penn State coach. You once had the Penn State coach, was going to be your head coach, and you screwed it up.
But he would have treated Maryland just like he did Vandy.
Oh, he would have.
He would have taken that Penn State job.
Sure. But you would have been better off. of having had James Franklin. If he could have won at Vandy, he could have won at Maryland.
We do have NFL football tonight, if you want to call it that. Raiders and 49ers, 7:20 on Fox. Fox 6 tonight to watch that. But it is an NFL game, and it's interesting to watch what the Raiders are trying to do now without Amari Cooper, another big piece to their puzzle there, as they are in total revamp, overhaul.
Well, before the season even starts, you lose your best player in Khalil Mack. This is still a baffling decision from John Gruden. And I understand he's trying to stockpile future first-round draft picks, which he's going to have a slew of them, five in the next couple of drafts. But then you get rid of your best offensive player, at least arguably, in Amari Cooper. Now Marshawn Lynch is on IR. And there is, I guess, a reason to watch this.
Oh, there is?
Well, you've got 1-6 Oakland against 1-7 San Francisco. Two reasons, I guess. Three reasons locally. Nick Mullins is going to get the start more than likely for San Francisco.
Good for him.
Local kid. CJ Beathard got a little banged up this past Sunday against Arizona, so he's going to be unable to go on a short week.
Mullins' first start in the NFL, right?
First start in the NFL. So he'll get the start. So locally, there's a little intrigue.
All right. This is a small sell there.
I'm trying to sell it.
Keep going.
This is going to be the last time that Oakland and San Francisco meet up in a Bay Area matchup, because obviously Oakland's going to Las Vegas.
Okay, that doesn't interest me.
But they got another year in
Oakland. I'm trying to sell this. And then finally, one of these two teams or the New York Giants is going to have the number one overall selection in May's draft. Okay. You got 1-6 against 1-7 tonight. 1-7 New York is off this week. But one of those three will be selected number one overall. I don't know if that's good, if that's bad. But I don't know if it's even to the point where if you find out who that guy is going to be, if it's Ed Oliver, if you start tanking a season.
I got two more reasons.
Real quick, occasionally Lance inadvertently opens the door and shows us why he's the best media salesperson in Birmingham, and that was one of the glimpses right there.
I got two more that may hit better locally. One is just uniforms. Great uniform game. I love these two uniforms.
That's not going to hook you at four quarters, Jimmy.
But the other one, if you're one of those Alabama fans that always thinks you're going to win a national championship, you can watch the game tonight in the stadium where the national championship game is going to be played. You can start picking out your seats tonight. Hey, you want to sit over there?
Oh, they'll be empty, too, so you can see what it's going to look like. Yeah.
You want to sit over there? Or sit up there?
I know my answer, but if you could have one of these two head coaches, Kyle Shanahan or John Gruden.
Kyle Shanahan.
That's Shanahan.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot believe I'm saying that, because it would have been Gruden for a very long time.
Unless I'm Tennessee, I'd say Kyle Shanahan.
A fourth element to watch is San Francisco scratches and claws each and every week, as bad as they are. And they play for Shanahan. And they did it again last week, and they blew a 12-3 fourth quarter lead. And one of the reasons they did was Beathard tried to gut through it, and they could do nothing offensively, and they turned the football over. He shouldn't have been in there. But this team plays, and John Gruden's Raiders have already cashed it in.
Rockstar, will you watch one play? They've sold me on nothing.
They blew a 12-3 lead.
They did. How do you blow a 12-3 lead against Josh Rosen and the Cardinals?
I asked.
After five field goals, they should score a touchdown.
I asked Mike Keith this yesterday, and he very nicely sidestepped the question. I'll ask you, too. Since Troy Aikman's rookie year playing for the Cowboys, do you think he's been to a worse NFL game than this?
No, because
he does
games of the week. I know. And, you know, these Thursday night matchups, I know they're pre-planned. I like how we do the flex situation on Sunday. And by the way, are you guys amazed that we're not getting Rams Saints?
It was protected. Yeah. Now, I've told somebody about that. It was protected. Yeah.
They're able to protect a certain number throughout the year.
And Fox was like, NBC, you ain't getting this one.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad, because I'll be in New Orleans and I want to go to a good
game. Can we do a Dreamland poll there? If you were Troy Aikman, would you call in sick tonight?
It's the day after Halloween. I think a lot of people could.
Yeah, but I mean, would you call in sick if you're Troy Aikman rather than have to watch
too much candy?
San Francisco and Oakland.
Brown, you've done a show from a sidewalk in front of a gas station.
I have.
Yep.
I don't call in sick.
Look, Lance. All checks cash the same, don't they?
That's true. That's a good point.
Dreamland barbecue poll questions throughout the show, brought to you by the great folks at Dreamland.
One I wanted to throw out yesterday that I forgot to, and I don't know if we can do it because it's post Halloween now.
Oh, sure we can.
Percentage of adults that drink while they're out trick or treating with their kids.
Yeah, you could smell it in my neighborhood.
Very high last night.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more than 50%?
Like, there was, I had to take my son over to a friend's house. And as I was driving through a neighborhood to drop him off at a friend's house, there were actually, women past the age of 35 dressed as witches sitting in their front stoop, front porch, or on the stairs outside.
Heckling people.
with their candy in a bucket, with their bottle of wine, just sitting there sipping wine and talking and handing out candy.
Yeah, so, I don't know if the witch is a good look for the girl. Would you agree with that?
Well, I
think it plays into stereotypes.
Yeah, I don't think it. I don't. It wasn't like ugly witch.
What's
it was
the
like
stereotype?
That women are.
Yeah, but there can be a frumpy witch. You know, you can just throw on whatever that black gown is and just throw a hat on. You don't have to. You can have a bad hair day.
These women were not trying to be those witches.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were upping it a little bit on the witch game.
Yeah, they were trying to be. What was that show back in the 90s where Desperate Housewives? They were not that they were Desperate Housewives.
Like
if you're listening.
Clean it up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dunaway would go as the gardener, right? The kid without the shirt. If you had the abs. Yeah. By the way, what you're drinking out of that big Yeti thing? I used one of those last night for the trick or treat.
Oh, they're terrific! Yeah, ever.
That thing, the ice doesn't melt. It's amazing.
I know. It's welcome aboard, Lance. Yeah.
It's the greatest gift we've ever gotten.
You can pour a half a pint of liquor in there with one good mixer.
I will tell you, and for the show, I'm not drinking liquor out of this. I'm actually drinking coffee, but it's a gift from the college football playoffs, and we got a lot of them over the years since 2009. Humble brag, and that's the best one.
Yeah,
that's
I agree. I use it every day.
Yeah, I've got that one somewhere.
They named a cove after him, McCovey Cove, and the Mobile, Alabama legend, Willie McCovey, passed away yesterday, 80 years old, 521 home runs in what was known as the dead ball era. Unbelievable career, played from the late 50s and played 20 years.
You know, I saw somebody doing this on social media. I can't remember which platform yesterday, building the all-Alabama Major League team. Do you know how good a team we have?
Oh, Hank Aaron.
Your outfield, Willie Mays. Your outfield's Hank Aaron and Willie Mays.
Yeah, Willie McCovey, Jim Peanut Davenport at third base.
Ozzie Smith was born in Mobile. If you go by that.
How's the rotation in that?
Well, Don Sutton. I think I saw is Corey Kluber.
Jake Peavy would be there.
Jake Peavy, Corey Kluber.
Yeah. I mean, Kimbrel's a closer.
Kimbrel's a closer.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get Tim Hudson because he played at Auburn? Well, he lives here now.
But he's from Columbus, Georgia, originally,
where's
right?
Where's Kimbrel
but
from?
I think Columbus, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see where he was born.
I mean, Hudson's from Columbus.
I mean, Hudson, yeah.
Kimbrel's from up in North Alabama.
Tim Hudson's official birthplace is Columbus, Georgia, so I don't think we get to claim him.
I probably had to drive across the bridge.
I would argue that it was actually Phoenix City if I were them. If we were going to do this.
He lives here now.
Kimbrel was born in Huntsville, so we got him. He's our closer. Yeah. It's a pretty darn good team, though.
Maybe he's a setup guy. C. Ray writes in, Dunaway checking out Desperate Housewife Witches last night when he's trick-or-treating. Lance with his, you can pour a half a pint of liquor into that Yeti. And Brown finds a hot dog bar while trick-or-treating. This show's a national treasure. I may shed a tear if it ever goes away.
I hope it doesn't.
Well, Brown, I'm coming between your gates next year because I didn't know you had a chili dog boy.
Oh, every year. This family does it. It's an older couple. They're probably in their 60s. Very nice people. And they invite some friends of theirs. They don't have kids, obviously. So they invite some friends of theirs in. And they set up this hot dog bar. You get ketchup, mustard, and they've got two pots of chili going. So I made me two chili dogs. And it's free. I tried to... You know, hey, can I at least pitch in? You know, and they will not accept donations. They are the nicest people, and I go there every year to get hot dogs.
Scoobs is on a cell phone. Hey, Scoobs, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's up, gentlemen?
Doing well, thank you.
Sober Scoobs, I like it.
Yeah, sober Scoobs, not a Scrooge, just a man. I'm in a good mood today. I hope
good.
You are, too.
Yes.
I want to get in on some couple of questions, but I want to tell everybody, I'm going to do a little spoiler alert. If you decide you ever want to go to Doss Ferry, it's up near North Jefferson County. I went there to trick-or-treat last night. You had houses that handed out homemade cotton candy. You had houses that would take their hand in a little cup, and it wasn't candy. It was money, like change. Put it in your bucket. You had houses that would, like Lance said, or no, Brown said about the hot dogs, they had a nacho stand there. And then they would ask some, there were some houses say, okay, who's driving? And then whoever wasn't driving, they would give a cold beer to. That was one heck of a trick-or-treating experience. Oh,
that's wow, that sounds like it.
Was that one neighborhood, Scoops?
One neighborhood, Doss Ferry, across from North Jefferson Middle School. I will tell you, when they do it right. They set it up like a fall festival. It's not just a basic trick-or-treating.
Well, not a hidden gem anymore.
Yeah, you just announced it.
Guys,
free beer? I'm there. Yeah.
So anyway, I want to get into I had a discussion yesterday with Tim Brando, and no, he didn't block me, and I want to mention his comments to you. This is going to be my first question. So me and him were arguing about the whole privilege thing, and I told him to come up with some new material. I said, don't block me. I said, it's kind of getting repetitive with you. And he said, well, I'm not going to stop until there's change. And I said, well, what's your change? His idea of change was 5 conference champions, 3 consolations, and complete camera coverage and surveillance inside of the CFP playoff ring. What do you think about that?
Well, you could do that because nobody's going to bother to watch it. Those are long, drawn-out meetings.
And the more important is what goes on in Congress. How many people turn on C-SPAN to watch that go on?
Yeah, you're right, Jim. Literally wall-to-wall coverage on C-SPAN. I can't even find it on my satellite. So I don't think anybody would watch it. So that would be window dressing. And I have never been personally for, and I'll accept them in the minority on this, automatic bids into the college football playoff. I've never been for that.
Yeah, but see,
if you want to expand it, fine.
Here's the problem with Brando. Two things. One is he wants you to argue with him because he likes to take the opposite side of some things so you can argue with him.
But he blocks you.
And two, the second one is he thinks that's going to change something, but it's not. You got five Power Conference champions. Okay, so you're going to have Alabama. You're going to have Clemson. You're going to have Michigan, you're going to have Oklahoma, and you're going to have Washington State. Okay, that's five of your top eight right there. Okay, so your three at-large bids is not going to get down to UCF, and that's what he's wanting. He's wanting all access. It's not going to get there unless you build in. You got to have a group of five team. It's not going to get there because right now, until whatever happens this weekend, it would be LSU and Notre Dame and Georgia. Yeah. And Stuart Mandel, who writes for The Athletic, by the way, with his last bowl projection, has one team, one SEC team in the college football playoffs, and then he's got not one, not two, not three, but four more SEC teams in New Year's Six bowls.
Four?
Four. Yeah. Four.
Oh, that's crazy.
And if you look at the rankings, Brown, with Florida, Kentucky, Georgia, LSU, and Alabama, there is a scenario. It fills up all the at-large bids in the bowls with SEC teams.
We'll have to do a welfare check on Klatt if that happens.
But he's like, play out the schedules the rest of the way, and you're looking at a lot of 10-2 in the SEC and Alabama in the playoffs, and your New Year's Six bowls could be riddled.
Lord.
Which means get ready in the Birmingham Bowl to have a replacement conference because there won't be enough league teams to go around at that point.
I hear you. So basically, he's just kind of selling himself short. It's just something to argue about to get a little bit of attention.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, see,
that's Brando's gig.
I'm all for automatic bids into the playoffs. I'm all for that.
Okay.
Because I do think there is, you can get into a situation, for instance, like the Pac-12 could be in very quickly here, where you're going to have a league this year where you have a lot of two-loss, three-loss teams, and there may come a season, a year, when the SEC is so evenly balanced, that's what you end up getting. And
well, I think two years ago,
you should have access into it, even if you're a tough league.
You know, 2 years ago, and look, USC didn't even play in the Pac-12 championship game, but that was a situation where they had some early losses. Sam Darnold comes into the fray and gets into the starting lineup. And again, USC at the end of the year was one of the best two or three teams. And I think they would have made the college football playoff extremely interesting. So I'm kind of like you. I would love to see Power Five automatic winners. You pick out your three wild cards. You got an 18 playoff. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah,
it works its way out. I mean, there's 8-8s in the NFL typically don't win a Super Bowl. And when a 9-7 gets there, like the Arizona Cardinals or the LA Rams back in 1979, people don't complain about it because you've gone through a gauntlet of beating really good teams.
Yeah, I mean, that USC team, some great Florida State teams of the past, you may not be whatever the threshold is to make it to the championship game, but by the end of the year, you're a pretty darn good football team. Couple of your headlines this morning. Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith day-to-day, but he has practiced all week long. That from Nick Saban last night. Quarterback Jalen Hurts, the coach says, has turned the corner, but still undecided if he'll be available Saturday at LSU. Down at Auburn, Gus Malzahn says Booby Whitlow has practiced this week, but he has been limited as well. Alabama did lose a commitment yesterday. Four-star defensive lineman Rashad Chaney decommits from Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU on his list. Hamilton with a good point about automatic bids I've never thought of. Several years, Alabama, like this year, could have the division locked up in a spot in the SEC championship game this weekend. Kentucky and Georgia will have them locked up. What prevents them from resting their players the rest of the way, including in key rivalry games? If you already have automatic bids on the line in that SEC championship game, why risk it by playing a guy like Tua in the Iron Bowl?
Now, I've argued against automatic bids. I have never considered that angle, and it is a somewhat legitimate question.
Because your safety plan, though, is the three wild card bids. You'd still be playing for that.
But here's the other thing that you can look at. You get younger players, some good quality reps, going into or experience for the next season or maybe even into a playoff. The NFL, it's the same situation. I mean, the Rams are going to have the NFC West locked up in the next couple of weeks. So,
Yeah, but I don't think we want this in college football.
Seriously, already in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah. Have you looked at that division?
Yeah, look, Seattle is at least being somewhat competitive. I think Seattle's sitting at 4-3 right now. But yeah, in the next couple of weeks, the Rams will have this thing locked up.
But we're used to it in the NFL, and it's and not the college football isn't a business. But I just don't think we want that invading college football, do we? Resting players. I mean, do you remember when?
But you also risk being out of sync too.
Do you remember when Christian McCaffrey chose not to play an exhibition bowl game and the outcry for that? You think we're going to be comfortable resting players?
Okay, but if it dilutes a week or two of our regular season, but it makes the playoff that much better?
Nope. Don't want it.
And I don't think you'd see a lot of it. How often is a division actually, and even if Alabama, say that they beat LSU this weekend and we were already in this setup, do you really think Alabama would pull off that much?
No, I don't. I don't, especially in an Iron Bowl or something like that. And you're going to rest players anyway against, in the tweener week and the Liberty games and things like that. The college football has the single best regular season of any sport out there, and it's not even close. And is there postseason flawed? Absolutely it is. But I don't want anything that's going to harm that regular season to happen, personally. We get 13 of those weekends, Jim, and I want every one of them to be great. And right now they are.
And you're not happy with most of the – I mean, this is week 10. Finally, you haven't said one negative thing about the schedule.
Doesn't mean I don't enjoy it, though, Jim. I watch them no matter what, and they end up being good. I'm just – on the surface, a lot of times they do look bad.
BetDSI has the odds for all the playoff contenders against all the other playoff contenders. I love to bounce these off of LT, and we'll do that a little bit later on this segment. But get your brain on, and I want odds like Alabama versus Clemson, Alabama versus Washington State.
I got it.
And we'll bounce some others, okay? So get your mind right for that. But first, back to the phones. Jeff's been patient with us. He's on a cell phone. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Morning there, Jimmy Jack and Lantern.
Jimmy, too many 1,000 gram bars is what it is today, man.
Oh, you talking about the Alabama coaching staff earlier. Let me throw this scenario at you. I figure this is Derek Mason's swan song this year. Do you think they might try to pick somebody out of the Alabama coaching staff to replace him, or who do y'all think they might try to go after in general?
I'm not sure it's Derek Mason's last year.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
No.
I mean, he's got them at 4-5, Jeff.
Yeah, that was a nice win last week on the road against Arkansas. I know Arkansas's lost 6-7.
Yeah.
But, I don't think Vanderbilt has been awful.
And he's got – they got a bye this week. He's got a outside shot at getting to a bowl because his three remaining games are winless in the conference, Missouri on the road, one win Mississippi at home, and one win Tennessee at home. And I don't know why I just called him Mississippi. But, I mean, the combined conference record of the remaining three games he's got is not very good. If he can find two wins there, he goes to a bowl.
Yeah, I think he ends up going 5-7. I don't think he does. He goes to a bowl. He's untouchable.
Yeah. And keep in mind how proud the Vanderbilt people were of the performance, and SEC fans in general, of the performance Vandy gave against Notre Dame at South Bend. That was not an embarrassing performance. They played well. They played hard and represented the conference in their school really well. And it's something the SEC fans are still bragging about here as the college football selection show happened the other night. Remember Vandy? They played Notre Dame tough.
They did, but I think they're wanting to get back to the level of James Franklin again, and that's going to be hard to find.
You ain't kidding.
And what are the chances they try to go with somebody like Mike Leach?
Oof. I don't know that you could pry him away from Washington State for Vandy.
Yeah, I think he's pretty comfortable, and I think it depends on how he ends up this final month. I guess my point is, if Washington State goes 12-1 and wins a Pac-12 championship, and you had a two-loss other conference champion get in over them, or you had a Notre Dame with one loss get in front of Washington State, then if Mike Leach is truly all about winning a championship one day, then he might look elsewhere. But I still believe they've got a really good shot at 12-1 winning the Pac-12 championship to find a way into the 14th.
And there's no way you would leave that to go to Vandy. And Dunaway, if you're – or Stuart Mandel, technically.
He's very comfortable in Pullman.
Yeah. If his bowl matchups are correct and you get that many in a New Year's Six bowl, then a 6-6 Vandy, if they could find a 6-6, would get a much better than normal 6-6 bowl game,
Absolutely. Here are the odds. I will give you what BetDSI has after LT gives me his selection, but – Alabama versus the Washington State team you're just talking about, where would you put the line, LT?
I would set this line comfortably. We're talking neutral site, right?
Be in Santa Clara for the national championship game.
We'd go 23 and a half.
18 and a half, they say.
Oof.
I thought that was a little low.
Yeah, it is low. It would not be 18 and a half.
They throw a bone to the folks at UCF if it was Alabama versus UCF.
I would say UCF would be, to me, it would be 21, but since you said that, it's probably 17.
They got it at 16 and a half. Give me yours. Don't try to guess theirs. Okay. I want you to give me yours.
Yeah, I would put that at 21 and a half.
I would agree.
A little bit less than Washington State.
They also include Ohio State in this. Alabama, Ohio State for the national championship. You would put that at?
I would put that number at, right now, based on the last time I've seen Ohio State, I would put it at 13 and a half.
13 and a half. They have it at 14. So they've sort of dialed it in now as well. Alabama, Michigan for the national championship.
I'm going to go a tad bit lower. It's kind of funny because Ohio State is going to be the favorite in that game because it's in Columbus. But the way Michigan's defense is playing, I would dial that down a little bit. I would put that at a solid 12.
11 and a half, they have it. Georgia and Alabama in a rematch in the national championship.
Based on what we saw last year, I think that will be the image in oddsmakers' heads. So probably not as inflated as it should be, but I'll say that number would be 11.
They got it at 10 and a half. Alabama and Oklahoma, if they played in the national championship game.
I'm going to take it a tick. I think Oklahoma's a better team than Georgia, but I'm going to take it a tick above that. I'm going to say Alabama would be 13.
9.5, and then Alabama and Clemson.
Alabama-Clemson right now, I would establish Alabama as a 7-point favorite.
And for some reason, they do not give you Alabama-Notre Dame.
Did they give Alabama-Clemson?
They did. 6. I apologize.
Okay. Well, that's way down, though.
Yeah.
6. I mean, a couple weeks ago, everything was in double digits.
Yeah, if I could get Clemson over a touchdown right now, I would take them.
The best matchup that they have on the board of all the contenders would be a Michigan-Georgia national championship game as a virtual pick 'em. Other than that, there's some points involved just about everywhere else.
Yeah, I think I would list Michigan as a 1-point favorite right now, but that's about right.
Yeah, so those are the contenders. I don't know why bet. DSI didn't give us Alabama Notre Dame there.
The Irish.
Well, I can give it to you.
What would it have been?
Alabama Notre Dame right now would be Alabama 13.
13. So a little bit like Alabama Ohio State would be. Really interesting. Missouri finally gets Emmanuel Hall back this week, they say, as they play Florida. Big difference in their offense. Missouri, when they have Emmanuel Hall, they average 43 points a game. Without him, they average 27 points a game. Of course, the schedule was pretty tough when they didn't have Emmanuel Hall as well. That included the Alabama game in Kentucky last week.
Is it maybe not fair that we judge Drew Locke? You know, this is a guy that ended his career at Missouri 4-12 in the month of October. And, you know, we had on, who was it from Missouri? One of our favorites, T.J. Moe.
T.J. Moe, yeah.
And he actually brought this up about Hall and how different this offense is without him. But don't great quarterbacks find a way to actually get it done when they don't have necessarily the best wide receivers?
You can't have that much drop-off. I agree with Dunaway. I think it's as much a function of the schedule as it is Emmanuel Hall being out. Those are good defenses.
Keith in Asheville's next. Hey, Keith, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm great. Good morning, guys. How about you?
Awesome. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, I had to step away for a few minutes to handle something here at work. Someone may have already brought this up, but I had something I wanted to chime in on with the 18 playoff scenario y'all were discussing.
Okay.
I'm 58 years old, and as far back in my memory as I can remember, I've always thought an 18 playoff would be the perfect answer to major college football. But over the last year or so, I've changed my opinion on that, and I was wanting to throw this in. I think with the 5 automatic bids, we would probably see the elimination of intersectional rivalries, because by that time, or all the conference champions would have to worry about would be their 8 games.
Yeah, why play a good team? Yeah.
You know, so they could fill in their other 4 games with some home compass point teams, and strength of schedule would not matter anymore. But with it being 4 teams now, everyone knows that they have to put everything they can into their 12 games.
Yeah, but do they really? I mean, the scheduling has proven to us that if you're unbeaten, you get a benefit of the doubt if you're in a Power 5 conference than someone else.
But here's what I would say, Keith, is to a certain extent, I mean, you still got to sell season ticket packages, and you can't do that with crappy games. So, you know, you'd have to find a balance on campus there and for your
and TV games.
Yeah.
And you could play the flip side of that. You have your conference games and your conference championship to fall back. So it's a free bite at the apple. You win a major intersectional game or two, and you have a better chance of being in the wild card discussion if you don't win your conference championship. And if you lose those games, you still have your conference championship. So maybe
seeding is important.
So maybe it opens up the door more.
Yeah, and you'd want to be the one seed.
Yeah, or the two, or the three, or the four. Look, maybe get a home game.
And don't get me wrong, and a caller brought this up. This is not us trying to redo the playoff yet again. But I'm in favor of an eight team. That's more meaningful football. I've just never liked the automatic bid.
Dylan in Birmingham, let's hear what he thinks. Hey, Dylan, how are you, man?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
Awesome.
Well, I've never been a big Tim Brando fan, but I don't think an 18 playoff is the worst idea. But
especially from Brando, right? I mean, that's actually a pretty good. It's like in the Brando ideal world, that's a pretty good one.
Exactly. But I think I got a much better idea. Kind of hear me out on this, because I mean, for one, what are you going to do with the bowls if you have an 18 playoff? I just feel like that's going to be hard to keep the bowls around. So
yeah, we said that with a 14 playoff though.
Yeah, but I mean, the bowls would have the same amount of meaning. They don't have any meaning right now. They wouldn't lose meaning.
No, okay. So here's what I think we should do. You play all the bowl games kind of like you used to, okay. And then after all the bowl games are done, you pick four teams. For any four teams, there's no automatic qualifiers, okay. And the committee, it's the same committee that picks the bowl games that picks the four playoff teams. So really, all the bowls, any game can be a playoff game, basically.
Yeah, I see what he's saying. You use the bowl games for some meaning there, but
yeah,
but the bowl games are programming now.
Yeah, I mean they're exhibition games. I
don't know how we got on this discussion. We got meaningful football coming up this weekend, but it's actually a playoff eliminator game for one team and maybe for the other too. If Alabama loses, their path to get there is harder, not over with, but it's probably more difficult than a loss has been in years past for Alabama, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
You agree?
Yeah.
You agree, LT? For Alabama, this is the toughest path they have to get back in this thing.
Yeah, I would think. But again, they've been so dominant up until this point. It really just depends on what happens with LSU.
We'll talk about DBU versus those wide receivers in just a second. One thing to keep an eye on is the long win streak Alabama has against LSU right now.
Yep. That's a long one.
Not the longest in the series history. 11 straight Alabama wins from 1971 to 1981. And keep in mind, the record at Baton Rouge only got sort of iffy recently with losses in 2000, 2004, 2006, and 2010. From 1965 to 2000, one loss for Alabama and Baton Rouge.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
65 to 2000, just 1969, and that was it. Rockstar will do cut number six and then cut number three. Cut six first is Nick Saban last night on Josh Gattis, the wide receiver coach at Alabama. And these receivers have been fantastic. And Nick Saban says, yes, it's talent, but also the coach in the coaching room there with the receivers has dialed in that position.
Josh is a very, very good coach. He's a very bright guy. He's been in some good systems. He has a good understanding of the big picture offensively. He's very technical in terms of how he coaches and teaches his players. And that they have a good understanding. And he's got a really good personality. But he's also demanding. You know, he can confront and demand guys when they're not doing things the way they're supposed to do them. And I think that's created a lot of consistency, you know, in our receivers. And it's also improved their toughness and their mental toughness.
Consistency and mental toughness is a key at receiver. The drop passes when at key points in games are so frustrating sometimes when you see these guys make great catches. You just haven't seen that a lot this year. Now, some of it's the Tua ball that he seems to almost throw it 30 yards and set it in their hands sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he puts the ball on their hands, but they have been very dependable receivers, very dependable.
Les Miles, former LSU coach, doesn't think Alabama can pass on this team. Here's Les Miles yesterday on Feinbaum.
I think that they better run the football in this game, because if they don't, I think the finest secondary in college football, which is the LSU Tigers, will make plays and make Tua uncomfortable.
Do you think Alabama can throw on this LSU secondary, Lance?
You know, I was asked this earlier this week, Dunaway, and this is by far the best secondary they played. And these guys, they've got three guys that legitimately will play in the NFL. But when you look at Alabama's separation against other SEC opponents, I mean, they are 3 and 4 yards away from other defensive backs. As good as these DBs are, I mean, the routes are so crisp. As you mentioned, Tua, his ability to deliver the ball and where he puts it, I think they're going to be able to pass on anyone. I really do. I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult because, you know, it starts up front with LSU. I think they'll be able to get a little more pressure than what Alabama's seen this year. And I think the defensive backs are that much better. And this is, you know, a defense that just doesn't give up a lot of big plays. But I think Alabama's offense is that good.
Brown, do you agree?
I do. And I like Les Miles, but I don't know that we should value his judgment on this game very much.
Right. What's he supposed to say?
I mean, that, and how good was he in this game?
Didn't he recruit some of these guys?
Well, he did. But my point is, his history of being able to judge what Alabama can and can't do in this game isn't very good. He lost a bunch of them.
Yeah, but he won 3.
How many did he lose?
I would assume it was 7-3 against Saban, right? 7-3.
Yeah, but he seemed much more competitive on that front side, Dunaway. It seemed like once Saban got it dialed in, and that kind of led to the decline of Les Miles.
Well, it is. It's why Les isn't there.
Yeah, his history of judging this rivalry, I don't think is very good.
Tim and Moody on this game, big one Saturday night down on the Bayou. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Good, guys. Good morning and roll tide. Glad y'all just did that piece, because that could not have led into my point any better. Everybody's talking about the white suspension, the LSU defense, the defensive backs, and even more so Tua and the wide receivers. What they've been able to do this year has been unbelievable. There is something in my mind that tells me, make sure everybody doesn't forget Damian Harris, Najee Harris, Jacobs. I really think this could be a surprise that our running game is going to really show out this week. I wanted to get y'all's input on that. Just going to hang up and listen. I think they're going to over-prep for the Tua and receivers, and really looking forward to our running game Saturday. Y'all have a good day, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you've got to test that middle right there, right? And see how Devin White's replacement plays the run, plays, you know, the RPOs and things like that.
I think that's a fantastic assessment
of
what could be the opportunity. Almost a flip side of what has happened in this rivalry game in the past is that Alabama hasn't shown the ability to run when they want to and to use those running backs. It's been so much of Tua and the receivers.
And when I read a piece this weekend, and I'm sure you guys did as well, and Lane Kiffin was quoted in it, and I think it was the Maisel piece on ESPN about Alabama being the greatest team of all time. And he brought up the fact that Bo Scarborough in 2 games to end, what was his final year, 15? Or was it 16?
I think it was 16.
But his final 2 games, he had 80 carries in those 2 games. And Najee Harris has 78 carries, leading Alabama going into the month of November.
That's crazy,
so
isn't
you
it?
You have Najee, you got Damian, you got Jacobs, you got Robinson. You've got 4 backs that are so fresh. They're almost September, early September fresh, and rolling into November. So there's so many different guys you can throw at this Aranda defense. Statistically, LSU's actually better against the run than they are the pass.
You know, DNA's a funny thing.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. Rockstar, don't you frequently laugh at DNA?
Dude, nebulas are weird, too.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Guy makes a point on Twitter, and we always love your input at Jocks Roundtable. I'm known on the show as what? Jimmy Landmine.
That's right.
I can't make a pick. Horrible. Guy says, just ask Dunaway's dad if you want a great Alabama-LSU prediction. That man is almost always spot on. Love me some JD.
Is he really? Is your dad good at that?
I think it involves a few Bud Heavies, but eventually he's pretty good at picking.
Can we get him on this week?
You think his local bookmaker would agree with that?
Well, I mean, probably not.
I'm going to say he's dropped on Tuesday more than he's picked up on Thursday.
I would imagine over the years, that's the way it always works, right?
It is.
That's the way it always works.
If he's got a good solid prediction he feels good about, though, I wouldn't mind having him on the show.
He's a little pro-Alabama, usually.
See, well, I think
a lot of our listeners would appreciate that.
I think James Sr. would have been a great addition to this show in the 1 o'clock hour on Fridays.
Would have been fantastic.
Is that fair? Yeah. Is this a little too early?
He's not a mimosa or Bloody Mary kind of guy. No.
Right.
But stale draft today, bowling alley at 1 p.m.
Yeah, 1 p.m. throwing darts. He would have been spot on in his prediction. We're about to give away tickets now, a pair of tickets. And how you get a chance to win those tickets is you have a successful answer with a rock star game that we're about to play. And if you get it right, you go into a drawing. And we'll draw out one winner and give away a pair of tickets to see Kiss in concert. You can buy those tickets, open to the public tomorrow. Live Nation, Ticketmaster, all the websites you go to there, your normal ticket outlets to buy a great concert ticket at Legacy Arena, April 13th. Kiss is coming to town. Time to get fired up for that. Rockstar, how are we playing the game, man?
It's either this or that. It's is this a country song or one that I made up? Country song or not?
Oh, so you've made some up?
I've made some up.
So this is either a country song or it is not. Right.
Right.
And
wait.
You either say it is or it isn't.
Right.
All right.
Don't use the word ain't.
Yeah. Some of these are made up by Rockstar.
Yes. Okay. Yes. 7:37. Walk us through it, Brownie.
Bobby in Pleasant Grove is going to get cracking because nothing says Kiss like country music. Hello, Bobby. How are you?
I'm pretty good on my second cup of coffee.
Oh, that's good.
Sound like
it.
Yeah.
Jazzed up. All right, Bobby. Rockstar, give it to him.
Let's go with Feeling Single and Seeing Double.
That is a country song.
Yeah, boy.
I think I've heard it.
Who do you think did it?
No, wait.
Mel Tillis?
Sleeping single in a double bed.
Yeah, a double wide.
But yours is Feeling Single,
Seeing Double.
Seeing Double. Yes. I'm going to say that's made up.
Bobby says it is, in fact, a country song.
I'm going to agree with Bobby.
As we play country song or it is not.
That is a country song.
Oh, that way, Bobby. Do you know Amy Lou Harris? Bobby, did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Bobby didn't know that coffee, Bobby.
Yep. He's gonna get a...
Bobby, stay on hold. Got to get that information.
Yeah, Jerry is next. Hello, Jerry. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Rockstar is playing an is or isn't game. Rockstar, go.
Get your tongue out of my mouth. I'm kissing you goodbye.
Jerry, is that a country song?
I'm going to say no. I hope to God it's not.
Jerry says it is not.
I mean, it's something Lori Morgan would have spit out late night. But there is no chance that is a country song.
No, I think it's 100%
there's
a country
song. There's no way.
Yeah, if it is, we got to hear it later on.
Yeah. I got to hear who sings
it. I'm going to say no.
It's our getaway song if this is a country song, but Jerry says it is not.
That is a country song by Don Bruns.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh,
get your tongue out of my mouth.
Sorry, Jerry.
I'm kissing you goodbye.
All right, that is the getaway song, right? Today.
Sure, we can do that.
I want it before then.
Wes is in Helena. He is next. Hello, Wes. How are you?
Good. Just pulled up to work this morning.
Oh, man. I hate that for you.
Go get him, man. Roll on.
What? Roll on.
Roll on. That is a country song.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
Jukebox Fist Fights, Turn Her On.
Jukebox Fist Fights, Turn Her On. Is that, in fact, a country song?
I'm going to say it's not a country song.
Wes says no.
I'm going to agree with Wes.
I'm going to agree with Wes.
A little too wordy.
Too. Yeah. Yes.
That other one wasn't wordy enough. Jukebox Fist Fights, Turn Her On is not a country song.
Nah,
not a
country way, Wes. Rockstar just made that one up.
Wes is in the drawing for Kiss tickets April 13th down at Legacy Arena. Ticketmaster website tomorrow. Tickets on sale.
Last American concert ever for Kiss in Birmingham, Alabama. Shane is in Fairview. Hello, Shane. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Let's go with I'll Marry You Tomorrow, But Let's Honeymoon Tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he says 100%.
Yeah, I would agree, too.
Yeah, buddy, that's a country song. Joe Diffie.
Yeah, I guarantee you that line has been used at the Floribama.
Yeah.
That is old Joel Stampley. Joe Stampley, so that is correct.
Correct, Shane.
Hey, tomorrow, right. Let's Honeymoon Tonight.
Old Stampley, living or dead.
I'm going to say Joe's punched on out.
I think he's married?
Massive heart attack.
I bet it was the Green Label Evan Williams that got him.
David is in Birmingham. Hello, David. How are you?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Good. You know how the game's played, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Rockstar.
Never had a beer as cold as you.
5 seconds.
That is not a country song.
Yeah, he says that is not.
Oh, I hope it is.
Oh, that's 100%.
That is,
yeah.
That is got to be.
No, 100%.
Got to be a country song.
But David says nope.
If not, we'll write it.
That's one I made up.
Oh, yeah, right. So you do need to write.
We gotta write that.
Hang
song.
Tight, David. Never had a song. Beer as cold as you.
We've got something we can model that around too. Yeah. I'm sure too.
I got a couple of pictures.
Donna is next. Hello, Donna. How are you? Donna,
not too good.
Donna,
Donna has disappeared.
Donna wanted to talk Alabama LSU on you.
Okay, Mike. How are you, Mike?
Good morning, Detroit Rock City.
I said, that is not a country song, Ali.
Let's go with delete those sexts. You're my ex.
I'm going to have to flip the coin and say no.
Mike says negative on that
one. I'm going to agree with Mike as well. It's very clever, but I'm going to agree.
I'm going to say no, too.
Yeah, I say no. Well, go ahead, no.
It is one that I made up.
All right. Ain't that. Pat, how many more you got, Rockstar?
I got a couple.
Okay.
Two or three.
7:41, we're playing for Kiss tickets, Dunaway. Last American show.
Yeah, coming to Legacy Arena on April the 13th, April 13th of next year, Legacy Arena. Tickets on sale tomorrow. Ticketmaster website, Live Nation, Ticketmaster, and Red Mountain Entertainment.
Matthew says, I wish anything in life entertained me as much as Ryan Brown having someone get their name in the drawing.
Yeah, you did it, buddy. We've only done this six times this week.
Do I oversell it a little bit?
May do it again tomorrow.
That's right. All right, Pat at Trustville. Hello, Pat.
Hello, how are y'all?
Awesome. You doing all right?
Doing good. How about y'all?
Oh, man, never been better. I want you to get your name in this drawing. Go ahead.
Let's go with Tree Stand Love Story.
That is not.
He says no.
I'm going to say no, too.
I'm going to say no, but it'd be backdrop to a Marty and Laura song. Marty Smith, Laura Rutledge.
Can Laura Rutledge sing?
Oh, sure. Okay. I bet she can.
Pat says no, Rockstar.
Pat would be correct. Oh,
how about that?
Hey, Pat, congratulations. You're in the drawing.
Come on, man.
I mean, which one's better? You tell me.
I want you to be excited, bro.
Okay. Shane. Wait a minute. Where are we, Rockstar?
We are in Birmingham, Alabama.
I don't know who's...
You want Shane in Fairview, right?
I thought Shane had already won. Shane, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, I've already won. Yep.
That's what I thought.
Shane be on hold.
Yeah, it's a Ryan in Tuscaloosa.
Shane wants to play for our VIP package.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Hey, Ryan's going to be our last one because I've lost control of the phone lines here. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
We're going to go with, Flushed from the Bathroom of Your Heart.
I'm going to say it is.
Ryan,
I'm going to agree with him.
Yeah. Seems a little too nasty. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
Ryan says it is, though.
That is good old Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Wow. Johnny Cash did
that. Good country music. That's good country music.
Hang tight, Ryan. That is a... another episode of Is It In Fact a Country Song or Would You Say No It Is Not?
Yes.
That we play here often on the Jocks Around Table.
Proper English, always. Yes. The King's English, if you will.
Jimmy, what were we playing for there?
We were playing for Kiss tickets. All the ones that got it correctly will have a chance to be in the drawing, which we'll do in the commercial break, and we'll tell them on the other side who wins a pair of tickets to go see Kiss, a rock and roll band that's been around since way back in the 1970s. But this is, in fact, their end-of-the-road tour here in the United States, and their last American concert will be at Legacy Arena at the BJCC coming up April 13th. Our Wheel of Destiny future coming up a little bit later on.
Hey, you're out there in bad weather, bad traffic. Rockstar's going to give you something to look forward to with his viewing menu when you get home tonight. It's presented each day by Frone Restore.
You know, we only have one more holiday to get rid of before we're at Christmas.
I know. That pesky Thanksgiving, right?
Thanksgiving that way.
7 p.m. on Hallmark. You got a good one tonight. Christmas getaway. I'm sensing a pattern.
Okay.
Hoping to spend the holiday relaxing, a travel writer takes a traditional Christmas vacation for the first time. Through a mix-up at the rental site, she finds herself double-booked for the holidays with a widower and his young daughter.
You know who the widower is, don't you? Sad story.
Scoobs?
No, sad story. Miss Claus passed. Good old Santa back out on the market. Yep.
And then 9 p.m. on Reels, Atlantis Channel, you got Evel Knievel, Cheating Death. That's a documentary about...
By the way, he didn't.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
I would just spend time with the family tonight, guys.
Oakland and San Francisco not going to beat you in.
Well, that's assumed that everybody's watching it.
Oh, great college football, though, tonight.
And pretty weather outside.
Temple and UCF, 6:30 on ESPN. Do be weather aware today. Some thunderstorms and tornado warnings over in Mississippi, so be weather aware this morning. As they blow through, Temple UCF at 6:30. Phone calls continue. D.V. Brown, Jason, by the way, on Twitter, has already written the chorus to our Cold As You, Cold Beer, Cold As You song.
I never had a cold beer as cold as you. Yes.
Yeah. Cold as you.
Cold well, what's the chorus?
Can you read this real quickly and you tell me, is that radio worthy? While I take Shane in Baltimore. Shane on the drive in. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
I got a
Good, good. I got a quick point on the LSU-Bama game, then I got a little Halloween story I think y'all might enjoy.
Okay, that's a good chorus, though. I like it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. So LSU has a really good pass defense, but the way they've been doing it this year is on the back end. They've actually not been all that good at putting pressure on the quarterback. So from an Alabama fan perspective, I feel more comfortable because I don't think you can out-cover Tua. I'd be a little bit more worried if they were getting their stops by hitting the quarterback and sacking him, but that's not really how they've been doing it this year. So
it's a great point. I do hope Tua's leg is in good shape, because his ability to move in the pocket or just flat out run the football may be a big key in this game for Alabama.
Yeah, just real quick, LSU has 18 sacks, which is mid-level in the conference. That's eighth in the conference. Alabama leads it with 26. Right. Auburn has 24, to put that number in perspective.
Yeah, Alabama's pass defense is actually a little bit better than LSU's, but we've been doing it mostly by pressure on the quarterback, not all on the back end like LSU has. But real quick, I got a Halloween story for you that I think you'll enjoy. Last night I went out, took my girls out trick-or-treating, and I found myself a costume to wear. And the type it is, you've probably seen before. It's the kind you pull about halfway up your stomach, and it's got a pair of fake legs. And, you know, it's usually you're riding a horse or a bull or something like
that. Right, right.
Well, I found one that's got the fake legs, but it's riding an elephant that's standing up. So my wife and I saw that, and we thought, okay, that's great. It looks like you're riding Big Al. So I threw on a Bama jersey, my Bama hat, and got this costume on where I'm riding this elephant. And one of the first houses we stopped at for the girls to get candy, a little old lady that was giving out candy, she walked over to me as we were passing by, and she leaned in real close and said, I sure do like your costume. It's very suggestive. And then she stared right down at the trunk. And then it dawned on me that walking around with an elephant trunk hanging off of my crotch area in Baltimore, where nobody knows who Big Al is.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A good point.
You didn't get a roll tide you wanted, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thank you, Shay.
I could see where that would be a problem. All right, you want the chorus of this song?
Here you go, Rockstar. Somebody's done your work for you.
You ready? What was the name of the song again, Rockstar?
Never had a beer as cold as you.
The chorus says, D.V. Brown, Jason, I ain't had a woman as cold as you. It's not just the mountains on my can that are blue.
Wow.
That's really good, though.
You won't let me do... Can I go on, Brown?
Yeah, sure.
You won't let me do a dang thing I want to do. I ain't had a woman as cold as you.
You won't let me do a dang thing I want to do. That's what Brown had to edit that for.
No, well, Jim changed a word in there.
Yeah. Change of
family show on the drive-in.
Yeah. Here's your headlines. Maryland fires DJ Durkin, reinstating Matt Canada now as the interim coach. He was, and then Durkin had been reinstated and for about 20 hours was the head coach again, and Canada was just the OC. Then they fire him, so Canada's back to being the interim coach. I bring all that up to tell you that Alabama offensive coordinator Mike Locksley is being mentioned now as one of the candidates for that job. Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith, day-to-day hamstring practice. Quarterback Jalen Hurts turned the corner. Both those guys still day-to-day situation, and see if they're available when Alabama plays LSU this weekend. Boobie Whitlow has practiced but is limited, according to Gus Malzahn. We'll talk to Stan about his importance for the big game with Auburn hosting Texas A&M this week in just a second. Temple and UCF tonight, 20 straight games. UCF has won, 6:30 on ESPN. And the big game on the eastern side of the division, Georgia and Kentucky, 2:30 on CBS 42 this weekend. Here is, great name by the way, Cash Daniel, defensive star for Kentucky. He doesn't think anyone outside of the state of Kentucky wants to see Kentucky win this game.
When you look at the national, not you guys obviously because you love us, I think, but when you look at the national media, and, you know, they're saying, well, Kentucky's – I think it's got something to do with they're used to seeing Kentucky, you know, all basketball season, you know, whooping up on people, and they're like, well, Kentucky's actually good in another sport. So I think that's the factor that they don't want to see us succeed, you know, that anybody outside of this state, you know, doesn't want to see us succeed unless they're living in another state.
By the way, Cash, Auburn won the SEC championship in basketball last year. Tennessee shared it with them in their eyes, and Kentucky didn't win the basketball championship. So there you go. JD's in Huntsville. He's next with us. Good morning, JD. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
I really don't see a path for LSU to win this game. I know that everybody wants to say that because Alabama's had so much trouble there, but they've been able to pull out wins. That the reason they've had trouble is because they really weren't able to pass the ball. They didn't have a quarterback like Tua. I just don't – it might be closer than their other games, but I just see Alabama winning this thing easier than what people think. My question for you guys is about Kentucky. If Kentucky were to beat Georgia, how far up would the committee move them? And here's another crazy thought. If Kentucky were to be one loss in the SEC championship against Alabama and were to somehow beat Alabama, what would the committee do with Alabama?
Wow. Well, first, just on the record real quick, I've said this all week, I think Kentucky's going to win this game. I think Georgia's a more talented team, but I think the style really fits Kentucky. Everything leads me to believe Kentucky's going to win this game. With that said, when they win, I don't know how much they jump up. I think they'll jump over Washington State.
Oh, I think they'd jump Oklahoma, too.
And they would jump. They would definitely jump over Georgia. Georgia would fall below them. Yeah. And would LSU, Lance, with two losses?
I think LSU will, but okay. I don't think they jump Oklahoma.
Oh, that's at least two spots, though. They'd be up to seven.
Yeah, I think they at least go to six.
Could a Kentucky team get in the playoff?
No, sure.
Yeah, if they win out.
If they win all their games.
SEC champion, one loss, yeah.
But what a one-loss Alabama win if they lost to Kentucky?
I don't know. That'd be tricky. Yeah. That Kentucky loss is going to look bad. Yeah, even in the SEC championship game, people will not be able to get over those logos.
But you guys know I follow these numbers pretty closely. Yeah. And this is something you got to look at. There is a ton of layman action right now on Georgia. Georgia opened. They were installed as a 10-point favorite. All of the early action is on Georgia, but the number has dropped to 8.
Which means the smart money is going to Kentucky.
Yeah, you've got some sharps out there. You've got some inside money that is being played on Kentucky right now. So that number's going down, although the majority of the action is on Georgia.
Now, and some of this, too.
But sometimes laymans win.
No, sometimes. I mean, you look at last Sunday. I mean, it was one of the worst Sundays in, you know, for the sports book in the last 3 or 4 years.
Some of this, too, depends on upsets this weekend. All right, and let's start with
talking about where Kentucky would go.
Alabama-LSU. I don't think they would jump a one-loss Alabama, Kentucky would, but they would definitely jump a two-loss LSU, so there's one spot.
Yeah, let's just play it out realistically. Okay. Alabama wins that game, they're going to jump LSU.
Okay. You think no matter what happens, they jump Washington State?
Yes, no matter
what
happens.
Okay, so there's two spots. Jim, you think Oklahoma lands, you don't?
Well, who's Oklahoma beating right now? Tell me.
They don't have any great wins.
None.
Yeah, but it's
Kentucky.
Still
Kentucky would have the Florida win if Florida survives Missouri, which isn't a given, by the way. We're not talking about Missouri possible upset, but that's possible.
They would jump Georgia, so that's three spots, potentially four now. If Northwestern beat Notre Dame or Penn State beat Michigan, there's even another spot. I mean, they're knocking on the door of the top four if everything fell right for them.
Yeah, Kentucky also beat Mississippi State, who's at the bottom of the rankings at 18.
They did not beat Texas A&M, who's 20th, but it does help your strength of schedule.
Yeah, that's your loss.
That's your loss.
On the road.
To a top 20 team.
In overtime.
Yeah, I think the only one they don't jump, the obvious, is Oklahoma. Just because, again, I think the name value, the brand.
Dang, Kentucky's got a good resume.
The brand of Oklahoma cracks me up because even Joey Galloway, who, you know, look, a lot of people don't like Joey Galloway, said the thing about Oklahoma is, man, when they win, this year they won impressively. What jumps out at you about that statement? Every time they've won. I know they've got a loss to Texas.
Yeah.
But the reason the committee struggles with what to do with Oklahoma is every time they're like Alabama. Every time they win impressively. And I immediately thought of the Army game. I mean, they had to scratch and claw just to beat Army on their home field.
And you're right. I think what he's saying is offense still sells. That's the sex appeal when it comes to Oklahoma.
And they've got that.
Like Kyler Murray. Yeah. Could be the second best player in college football right now, just statistically behind Tua. So the offense has been great. It's a fun brand to watch. And again, to the brand, two of the last three college football playoffs, Oklahoma's been there.
Can I go back to, he brought up Alabama-LSU and defending Tua Tagovailoa? Because I want to talk about a hidden stat in this game real quick. And we touched on it earlier, but I want to go just a touch deeper here. When you look at sacks, LSU is middle of the conference. They've had 18 sacks, okay? So they're averaging about 2.25 sacks per game. That, to put it in perspective, is behind Alabama at number one, 26, Auburn number two at 24, just to show you kind of where LSU is. The team that is the best at protecting their quarterback in the entire league, and maybe nation, I'll have to look at this, is Alabama. They've only allowed 5 sacks this year, guys. 5.
Part of that is the ability to get the ball out.
No doubt. And so when you're talking about a team that hasn't really pressured the quarterback all that well versus a team that only gives up 5 sacks all year, less than 1 per game, the next closest is South Carolina, Florida, and Missouri at 10. Alabama has half that number that they've allowed. I think that's kind of a hidden stat in this game. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. For the record, it is 3rd in the nation. Only NC State and Army, or better, Army never passes, so they don't allow any sacks, hardly. And NC State's only given up 4 all year to Ryan Finley. That's kind of a hidden stat. If you can't pressure Tua Tagovailoa, boy, he can chop you right up no matter how good your secondary is if he's got time.
Can we go back to Georgia, Kentucky? Can we do seesaw in this game?
Sure,
sure. Rockstar, if you'll pull out the old rusty seesaw, you'll hear the seesaw in the background. 100% belief in something gives you a long seesaw ride. If it's a short seesaw ride, you don't believe as much in it. So we're going Kentucky, Georgia.
Yeah, Kentucky, Georgia. And I've said it, I guess it started on Tuesday with our upset alert. I believe Kentucky's going to win this game, but my belief in it is 51%.
Oh, you're only 51%?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a look, they're going to cover the number, whether or not they get the win. I think they win the game.
I think Georgia wins big, and I'm still only 30% that Kentucky can win.
I was going to be 40% on Kentucky. But Lance, the way you discussed this earlier, I thought, I don't know about you, Jim, the watershed landmark moment for Lance's lock to me was that Florida State NC State game. How long ago was that?
It was 2010. Mike Glennon days.
Yeah.
2010, 2011.
It was a long time ago, but it was a massive upset, and I think the number was like...
It was 17.
17. And I remember Lance telling us, guaranteeing us NC State would win this game outright.
Yeah,
I remember thinking he was an idiot.
I go back to the year Alabama lost in Oxford to Ole Miss. He told us all week long.
Oh, callers killed him. You remember that?
Yeah, that Alabama's going to lose in Oxford this weekend. Alabama's going to lose in Oxford.
This game was about to approach those confidence levels.
No, you're nowhere close
on that.
Yeah, I feel like Kentucky's going to win the game. But again, Georgia's got so much more talent. Yeah.
As a Georgia fan, I feel a lot better right now. 8:28. We'll talk about
it. You were getting depressed.
If I was a Georgia fan, I'd be sitting here going, oh, this is one of those Lance sees. And, it's like NC State and it's like Alabama at Oxford. He sees the tea leaves here and they're going to lose.
Again, I think Kentucky wins the game, but I think it comes down to a final possession. Georgia's a better team.
You're so absolute. 51% is nothing to you. Stuart Mandel on The Athletic wrote that the way the schedules are going to fall out and where the college football playoff committee rankings have the SEC teams, that there is a chance, and it's a long chance, but a chance that Alabama or the SEC champion could be in the college football playoffs and that 4 other teams could get New Year's Six bowl games, forcing one of those New Year's Six bowl games to be an SEC versus SEC matchup of LSU and Kentucky.
I mean, look. At least those two didn't play in the regular season, and presumably not in the SEC championship at that point. So I guess it would be a good matchup, but boy, I just don't think anybody wants to see that.
Yeah,
I think Greg Sankey and his office down there wants to see that.
One thing to keep an eye on is if Kentucky does end up not winning this game this week and not going to Atlanta, but winning out, they have and doesn't get a New Year's Six bowl game. Maybe even a 9-3 Kentucky. They've never played in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl. That bowl really likes an Eastern Division team, and getting Kentucky fan base in a bowl they've never been to,
they travel
that big,
yeah,
that'd be a very attractive bowl destination for Kentucky.
They'd sell tons of tickets.
There's a lot of big NFL games this weekend. One of those LT will be at in New Orleans, the Rams and the Saints. Another big one, boy, this Packers schedule this time of year. Packers and Rams was the big game last week. Packers and Patriots this week, 7:20 on NBC. Here's Aaron Rodgers on playing against Tom Brady.
Tom's been at the top of his game for over a decade, playing at a high level, winning MVPs, obviously winning Super Bowls. He's been a phenomenal player in this league, so he's a fun one to watch when you're a younger player and trying to figure out what he's doing. Obviously, we play a little bit different style of game, but the stuff that he does well is stuff that, over my career, I've tried to incorporate in my own game.
It's a fun little game Sunday night. So is Rams and Saints. You also get a little Steelers and Ravens this weekend. Pretty good weekend of football there. Be interesting to see what the Browns do with the chaos.
The NFL season goes obviously a lot longer than the college football season. It's hard to believe we're already past the halfway mark, though, in the NFL season. But, yeah, there's some really good matchups. And, you know, teams that seem to be dead early on, like the Chargers, one of the hottest teams out there, like the Texans, both of those teams going on the road. You mentioned the two marquee games, the Rams and the Saints, the Packers and the Patriots. But this is when teams, November, December, is when you can really start to tell the championship teams apart from everyone else. But this Rams game, you can't overstate how important it is, because the Rams don't have a true home field advantage, but right. Going on the road to either a East Coast, you know, outside situation like a Philadelphia, which more than likely you wouldn't have to go there based on where the Eagles are right now, but even going to a Carolina for a playoff game in January. But New Orleans has got one of those great home field advantages. When that dome is rocking, and you guys have been there before, it's just, it's a really unique atmosphere. And that's one of the places the Rams don't want to have to go back in January for an NFC Championship game. And you win this game, the Rams are going to be sitting at 9-0. The Saints will drop to 6-2.
It'd be hard for them to catch up and not have, for the Rams not to have home field advantage.
It really would be.
To play in good weather outside.
Yeah, if the Saints get this game, I think they're on the fast track to getting home field. If the Rams get it, I mean, it's almost a slam dunk. Some things would have to really unfold for the Rams to not get home field.
Deshaun Davis, big star for Auburn, on the plan for the Tigers with A&M, Georgia, and Alabama still the rivalry games to play at the new Amen Corner for the Tigers.
I definitely think if we're able to, you know, finish these last four games with a W, the entire vibe around here, you know, it definitely changed. I mean, you know, we had championship hopes coming into the season, but right now we don't control that destiny anymore. And like I said, if we were to finish with these last four games with a W, we can do the same thing we did last year and make this a good year and a memorable year.
His word right there changed the vibe around here. Concerning to you, change the vibe around here coming from a player going into these games? And obviously, if they win these three, you're 9-3. It's not the year you wanted, but you've beaten Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama again.
Yeah, you know, 9-3 is what I kind of expected. I just would be blown away if you're able to close this with four wins. I think you're getting a couple of wins here. I think it's 7-5 here. I think it's a major disappointment for Auburn. But the vibe's got to be bad. I mean, look, you're coming off a win to Ole Miss, but you lost to Tennessee at home. And this is a team that was virtually unbeatable the last couple of years at Jordan-Hare. They're sitting at 1-2 in conference in that stadium this year.
We talk in terms of Auburn being out of the SEC race, and I think any reasonable person thinks they are. They mathematically, I believe, are still alive. It would take, you know,
I mean, unless the bubonic plague is going to bounce back in 18.
Yeah, I mean, it would about take that right now. But that's not where you thought you'd be. I don't think even Auburn fans that said, look, Alabama's going to be good, Auburn's not going to win the division. I don't think there's an Auburn fan out there, Lance, that thought you would be essentially mathematically eliminated by mid-October, basically. I mean, and that's what's happened. Before you can even get to November, you got no shot at the SEC.
No, I think all Auburn fans believe that they would go into the Georgia game with no losses in the SEC.
Yeah. Or even if you had a loss, Jim, it might be the one loss at Mississippi State that you could overcome, or maybe a loss to LSU you could overcome.
But once you beat Washington in the opener, there was talk of college football playoff. Texas A&M and Auburn, airtime 8 o'clock on our sister station, 99.5 on Saturday. Big moment last night, 50 points from Derrick Rose, a career high as he helps the Timberwolves, down two starters, win the game last night. Listen to the emotions. He's in tears in this post game.
You're very emotional. A huge victory for this team, and it comes from you and your career high, 50 points.
He's crying right now.
What does it mean to you, Derek?
Everything, man. I work my ass off, bro. I wouldn't have did this for the franchise, the organization, the fans, everybody, man. I wouldn't be able to play the way I play, man.
To see him do that last night, 50 points.
Well, it was the lock. It ended up going off a plus 7. Well, because Jimmy Butler didn't play, I still wasn't scared. I didn't realize Rose would do what he did. But we tend to forget how good this guy was. He won an MVP. He was the first overall pick in the 2008 draft. He should have won a national championship at Memphis. Just unfortunate that injuries derailed his career.
Should have won a national championship at Memphis. He missed free throws, actually hit free throws last night. While we're throwing out high school accolades here, Cole Garner, did y'all see this? It made national news. A defensive end at Briarwood had three tackles for safeties in a game this past weekend.
What are the odds on that? Yeah. So he had three safeties?
Yeah, he had three tackles for safeties.
That's crazy. That's
very difficult to do.
Yeah, like I saw that Iowa got, they got two safeties in that Penn State game.
Right.
Iowa did. And the last, it was so weird. The last time that had happened, I think, was Iowa at Penn State. Like, Iowa had done it twice. It was so random.
I mean, Cole, you at that point, you got to buy a burger for the punter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get three safeties. You've pinned them down there pretty good a couple of times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if it'd be better if he's the punter, too. You know, high school works. If he punts and got three tackles for safety, it's a little bit better story. Rockstar has got him today. So they're non-sporty. These are the ones you need to write down, remember, and go ask your coworkers today. Hopefully they'll keep you out of HR. But Four Downs brought to you by Vulcan Tires.
First down.
If everyone was given one do-over in their life, do you think you would have used yours already?
Used it.
Or or held on to it?
Used it.
Yeah, I'm a spender by nature. I've had to learn how to save, so I would have probably spent this as well early on.
Chad,
so.
I don't think you guys, well, you probably do. The magnitude of how big this Trump card is, though.
It is big, but I think I would probably.
Like, do you think you would have used it like as a 12-year-old?
Yeah, I don't. That's the problem. Nope. I think I would have used mine by now.
I can look back on so many times in my life where I said, oh, I would have used it then.
But
surely
I
would have used it
then. I'll see some coaches in one possession games that will take it to the house with two timeouts.
Yep.
Yeah, Kirby.
And you just wonder if you sit there and you hold it in your pocket, you get hit by a truck one day, when's the best time to throw it out there?
I think I would have used yours by now. I hope you would have used mine by now. I don't know if yours, used yours by now, but I would have used mine by now.
I would have. I can look back on some times and say definitely would have used it.
Yeah, I think I would have. It would have been, hopefully, though, after you would have made a really dumb decision to use it early on.
And I would promise you, I probably would have run up credit card debt trying to buy somebody else's to use theirs.
To get rid of the credit card debt.
To get rid of the credit card debt, probably, yeah.
Second down.
What is not as bad as everyone thinks?
I'll go subtitles on movies and even certain shows. Like, some people won't watch a movie because they're like, oh, man, it's in subtitles. If you see something really good in film or television that's done right, you lose yourself and don't realize you're reading. And it's
subtitles.
A true story.
I can't do it when it's filmed in Icelandic and they're redub it in English.
I get that, it's like the show The Dark, which you gave up on, and I thought The Dark ended up being okay, not great, but if it's done really well, you'll forget you're watching subtitles or reading.
Fair to say that you could say Taylor Swift now, right?
Yeah, well, I think the majority of people like her. Yeah,
no, but LT didn't. Oh. He could say that.
I mean, once I saw her production again, I thought she put on one of the best concerts I've ever seen. And, I mean, the music's not awful. It's okay.
I will tell you, I don't understand people who don't like this. And it's texture for a lot of people, but guacamole, to me, is fantastic and can be done so many different ways. And you get good guacamole, it is so delicious.
And I think post-30, though, Dunaway, I think it's a 50-50 split on the guac.
Yeah, I mean, my wife can't stand it.
I hate it.
My kids can't
and
stand
salsa.
It.
Yeah, girlfriend doesn't like it at all.
Yeah. You don't like salsa, Rockstar?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Shocker, isn't it? Brown?
The movie Ishtar. Now, I'm not saying it's Godfather by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it has become the one movie everybody could talk about as a failure because everybody's talked about it as a failure.
So you haven't seen The Deer Hunter, but you've seen
I knew this was going to happen. I knew a million times movie snob
you
down there was going to start throwing out movies I haven't seen, but I have seen Ishtar.
I've never seen Ishtar.
Dude.
I did see Dune.
Yeah, Dune was awful.
Ishtar is a leader who has died, and they've got the lookalike. They bring him in. And
that's Weekend at Bernie's.
No way. That's Ishtar.
I'm kidding. It is Ishtar.
Okay, absolutely.
They're singers Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman. And it's not, I mean, I'm not saying it's Godfather, but people paint it out like it is the worst piece of trash ever made. It's better than that.
I enjoyed that movie. I watched it.
See, thank you.
Third down.
What is an absolute turnoff about your personality that you are aware of but can't help?
We should answer this for one another.
No, it hurts our feelings.
An honest answer.
I can be condescending and I don't even know it.
Really?
Yep, absolutely.
That's the one I would have said for you. It's not going to hurt your feelings at all.
I don't even know I'm doing it because in my head I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And I started writing a book last night. And
oh my God!
What?
I got the whole first chapter is about some of the world's biggest A word, with a hole after that. Don't even know that they are.
Right.
That,
no, I think that's true.
They don't even know they are.
It's the blind spot Nick Saban talks about. Yeah. You've got that blind spot.
Yeah. That is. That was the title of my book.
Lance.
A couple of things. I'm very OCD, and if you're not OCD, it's not a good mix. But also, I'm really controlling, and you got to be a little submissive.
That's not the one I would have said about you.
What would you have said?
You can be a little bit pushy. Like if somebody's doing a favor for you or trying to get tickets or something for you, you like to wear them down.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
No, it's okay. It's why it makes them a good salesperson. And you guys are feel free to answer mine.
Well, you kind of helped me out with something recently, but I only asked one time.
No, that is true. I did notice that, by the way.
So give me another example, yeah.
They're just time.
You're pushing him to answer the topic.
Yeah,
man.
See? Look how pushy you are.
No, I'm just wondering. I do need another example of that, though.
There was, what did I do that one time?
Record those intros?
No. God, you asked me like 15 times.
Can I answer yours, Brad?
Yeah, go ahead. I suggested we do it this way.
You don't
way.
Pay off your bets.
Yeah, you do. You welch out a lot.
I don't welch out a lot.
Well, I mean,
give me one example. Give me more than one example.
Give me more. Okay,
give me more than one.
I don't kill people. Give me more than one.
What?
Let's take it to the poll.
What?
Let our listeners vote.
No, it's a silly question. I did. I admitted the one time.
Yeah, well, I knew this would start a fight.
Manawi. I mean,
okay, but we haven't even made it back around. I told you guys yesterday.
How do we cash in so fast, though? I mean, it's like when Dunaway and I, when we lose bets, it's like immediate. It gets done.
You haven't taken him for a steak. When's the last time he took you for a steak?
Well, I'm down now.
How many times did I offer, though, Dunaway?
All the time. Yeah. All the time.
Okay, mine is I like to have I like immediate gratification. I do. I like to be told I've done a good job.
We can immediately tell you welch out on bets.
Yes.
Would like immediate gratification.
Listen, I even discussed it with you guys yesterday because you guys discussed changing it to me going to the coach's show for the last chance you guy. And then we never did that. So I said, I'll do it in January or February. I'll go to Manawi. It'll even be worse then.
Fourth down.
This guy texted me, said you owe him $50 from the Iron Bowl last year, and they still hadn't gotten it.
Jennifer's texting you? All right. What is a compliment that you never want to hear? Dunaway.
You know, you don't look as bad as I thought without hair. Yeah.
Have you really heard that before?
No.
Oh, I'll tell you what I've gotten. I've gotten one like that. It was at one of my grandmother's funerals. And
she have a lot of
no,
them.
One of my grandmothers who had a funeral, it was at that funeral. She said, well, you've got more hair than it looks like on TV.
Yeah.
That was the...
Well, the strong lighting will get... You've got thin spots in your hair.
Yeah, so you can show them up in the lighting.
Yeah, it loses that hair.
I don't know if this qualifies, but I'll get asked, do you work out? And that's... To me, it's like, I don't know if that's a slight or not.
Well, what a humble brag.
Yeah, so are you a model? I mean, no.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, they don't know if you do. Like, it's kind of a shot. Like, it's a question.
Right.
It's not, I can tell you work out. It's like, legitimately, do you work out? It's like, you know, at a doctor's exam or something, where are you a regular at working out? And you would just think that that's kind of a slight, because people that don't work out, you can kind of tell, right?
I think you look better chunky. I think I got that the other day, too.
I think they would say chunky. Yeah. Like, you look better fuller.
Yeah. More weight on.
At maximum density, you look better.
All right. That's four downs. I if I'm back the next segment, if I have not been fired by blowing past our stop breaks here.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
I apologize.
It's deep.
It's way deep, Jim.
Well,
should have managed the time
better. Can I at least give our sponsor another point?
Who are you, Kirby
sure
Smart?
Can. I didn't know we were going to pull out the metal chair and go against Brown's head. Him rubbing that blood pill right on his forehead. They're bleeding now like we're at Batwell on a Saturday night. You didn't give it in your lock, so don't give me point spread or anything. Just straight up win. Do you think Temple gets UCF tonight?
I do not.
You do not. You do, Brent.
Yeah, it's my upset alert.
All right, big game tonight. Boy, a lot of shut-up juice for the UCF fans if they finally lose to a Temple team.
I just hope if it happens, everybody's healthy.
Okay.
Mackenzie Milton's healthy, just so there aren't excuses.
It's time to do our sneaky good games. Now, it's our spotlight, and I will tell you, sneaky good means we know there are 2-3 games in this window that you're going to watch. They're the big games, but pay attention to these games because they will have high entertainment value It's the Spotlight Today Rockstar.
It's the Farmhouse Victory Grill Spotlight.
College football, sneaky good game.
I'll start us off, Brown, then you give us yours, and we'll end it up with LT here. It's not Army-Navy, all right? But Air Force-Army has a lot of the same passion that you love about Army-Navy. It's at 11 a.m. on the CBS Sports Network, 11 a.m. Air Force and Army. Winner of this game wins the Commander-in-Chief Trophy.
Something That's a big watch. Deal for you.
Something to watch.
Yeah. I'm going to go Utah State and Hawaii. Darwin Thompson for Utah State.
What are you laughing at?
I gave you the first game of the day. You're giving me the last
game of the day. Yes. He's been running the ball. This is 11 o'clock on Stadium if you want to watch it.
11 p.m.
Rockstar's favorite quarterback, Cole McDonald, on the air throwing for more than 300 yards, 30 touchdowns, 4 picks. This can be an offensive shootout, and Utah State is one of those teams that could be a Group of Five representative in the New Year's Six. If everything falls right, they could lose all of that with a loss at Utah late Saturday.
Yeah, Hawaii's just not playing good football. There's just no shot.
If UCF loses tonight, Utah State with Jordan Love becomes maybe one of the favorites to get there.
Yeah, well, and I wonder, though, if Houston wins out, if they would drop Utah or they would jump Utah State.
Well, because good that point. Would include a win over Central Florida in the championship game, right?
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, yours.
I'm going to go Pac-12 here. And look, Washington State is a team that I said if they got by Stanford last week, they were going to win out. But this is a tricky game. They're hosting California. And look, Washington State's been really good. And Pullman and Garner Minshew's playing out of his mind right now. But you look at California, they're only allowing 165 passing yards per game, eighth best in the FBS. Their defense has only allowed their last two opponents to score a combined 17 points. Justin Wilcox has got this defense dialed in. They're coming off a win over Washington, so they're playing extremely confident. And let's go back last year. Washington State, nobody remembers this. Did you guys remember they were ranked number 8 in college football and they lost 37-3 to an unranked Cal team?
That was last year?
That was last year. So watch out for Cal in this spot. This could be a really interesting 9:45 ESPN game.
Can you believe how fast Oregon has fallen off out there?
It's crazy. I thought they were the best team in the Pac-12 for a minute.
They're now 2-3 with California. Stanford's 3-2, Washington's 4-2, and Washington State's 4-1. That whole league could have two or more losses if California upsets them there. All right, that's our sneaky good game brought to you by Baumhauer's. A couple of Deadwood things from the four downs with Rockstar.
Can you clear me up, please?
Yeah, I'm setting you up.
Okay.
First, the Brown thing.
Are you getting blown up, Lee?
No, okay, yeah, I am, and it's not a humble brag.
Okay.
Not a humble brag.
So I explained this, and help me out, Dunaway. What I'm saying is I was in the doctor's office a couple of days ago, and the nurse was like, do you work out, asking me, do you legitimately work out? There are a lot of people, when I look in everyday life, we're an obese country.
Right.
At my age, I think it's pretty obvious that I stay active. That's what I'm saying. And I get asked that question a lot. Are you a guy that actually works out?
Like they ask it in the sense, do you really work out?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like your cholesterol's high, you need to work out.
Yeah, like you might need to get in there and do something. It's not...
Like I get the same
Are you
question.
Sure you like women? Yes. Why does everybody say that?
I get the same question. And
but does that make sense with the way I'm saying it?
So it's not a humble brag.
It's not a humble brag at all.
He's being insulted that they even asked because he does work out.
Right.
It's a slap in the face. It's like I'm working out for nothing.
Now, as Andrew in Corvallis, Oregon points out, in all fairness to Brown, he was on national TV last year in a Bob Ross costume. We said it on the air then, and we've said it many times since, that will be the peak of our bet payoffs. We will never be that good again.
I'm afraid that's true, yes. And I'm trying to think of how we can make a trip to Manawi that good.
We can't. I'm just saying that is the peak.
Right.
But just because you have had your best album ever doesn't mean you don't do other albums.
Yeah. No.
The Eagles did their greatest hits before Hotel California even came out.
How about that?
And again, you know, I was going to... Well, I couldn't do it in July. I was going to do it in August. You guys came up with the discussion of me going to Turbo's for the coaches show, which I really thought would have been good. But we've waited too late in the game now. I don't even know if they're still playing.
I don't know if Turbo's still open.
And that's true. That's a good point.
The coach got suspended.
Yeah, no, the coach got suspended. So we had a lot of roadblocks there. So I will do this in either January or February, which will probably maximize, wouldn't you agree, the punishment, because it's going to be...
Yeah, and probably your stay there, too.
Probably so. I'll probably have to get snowed in.
All right.
So it'll be January or February.
That's Deadwood. Hey, one person wants us to point out a number of touchdown passes for Joe Burrow this year? The answer is 6 in 8 games. He is 110th in the country, tied with named quarterback Nick Fitzgerald of Mississippi State, who has 6 and 7 games. Malik Roser of Miami, who has 6 and 6 games.
Alabama has twice as many interceptions as they have touchdown passes.
Doesn't mean the team's not good, though. A.J. Erdley of UAB has 7 passes, touchdown passes, in 8 games, and he's good.
Mm.
And they're good. Well, they're good.
They're good.
I mean, they're good. I think Bill Clark would like for his quarterback. Look, a lot of leadership qualities. I think people revolve, and you know he's an infectious kind of guy. But production-wise, they're not really getting it done at the quarterback position. They haven't needed it because the defense is that good and because Spencer Brown's ability to get it done on the ground.
Jared Stidham is at 102, 8 games, 8 touchdown passes. If you're wondering about the national lead, that is Dwayne Haskins, 30 touchdown passes in 8 games. Cole McDonald, 30 in 9 games, tied for the lead. Don't go far for Tua Tagovailoa. He and Will Greer, 25 touchdown passes. And our last big thing today, Ed Orgeron on the radio, and saying things that may make you nervous if you're an LSU fan. Here we go. It's brought to you by our friends at eraking.com. Great family-owned business right here, eraking.com. Are you tired of navigating the entire confusing process of buying or selling a new home on your own? Don't do it anymore. Call my friends at eraking.com, eraking.com, and let them help you out. ERA means easy, responsive, and intentional detail. Find out what ERA means to you at eraking.com. Here's Ed Orgeron on ESPN Radio this morning talking about LSU hosting Alabama.
I thought we could have played on Monday. And, you know, some teams, it's not like that. You got to motivate them and you don't feel the energy. But the energy within our team has been fantastic all week. I let them go the way they want to go. I know when I have to fire my team up and when I don't have to fire my team up. I haven't had to do it yet this week.
I thought we could have played on Monday. Do you like to hear that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, these guys haven't played in a couple of weeks. They, like Alabama, are coming off a bye, and he really shouldn't have to motivate. I mean, they're playing a team that is getting accolades left and right. You heard Stephen A. Smith. He did his top five, and all five through one were all Alabama. People are saying this is maybe the greatest team of all time. They're coming into your place where you control everything in front of you. If you win every game, LSU is going to be a national champion.
But in these big games, you never want to watch.
You're saying peak too early is what you're worried about.
You don't want to play the game on Monday. You don't want to be ready to play the game on Monday. You got to be ready on Saturday, not Monday. Here's another thing. Ed Orgeron giving you a little something to think about if you're out. Seriously, if you're Tua Tagovailoa, listen to this.
We have to control the line of scrimmage. This is always a big man's game. You guys know that. We got to block their front, and we haven't done that the last 2 years. And we've got to throw the punches on defense. Now, I'll tell you what, last year I thought we played their run game very well. They beat us in the pass game, which surprised me. This year we're more well-equipped to handle their passing game. We have to stop the run, put pressure on Tua, keep them in the pocket, eliminate the big play.
Ed Orgeron says they can handle Alabama's passing game. I didn't make that up. He just said that.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was kind of funny hearing him say, you know, we stopped the run. They threw it better. Surprised us last year. Well, they're going to throw it better this year, too. I mean, he's going to have to be equipped. Look, they lead the conference in interceptions. They got 14. So they're ball hawking in that secondary. We went through the numbers, though, Lance, about them pressuring the quarterback. They don't do it well, and Alabama doesn't allow you to do it well. So that's it. That's a big issue.
Losable game for Alabama this weekend on the road at Baton Rouge. Really the first time you could say that all year. That's a fair statement, right?
The first losable game. Again, if you go back to what Georgia, the things, the mistakes they made playing in Baton Rouge a few weeks ago when they were -4 in turnovers. If Alabama's -4 in turnovers, I think they'll lose the game. So it's a losable game.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.